Nicola Tocchi, CEO of Forest and Bird. And she is critical of the government's decision to add coal to the critical minerals list, arguing that it undermines our country's environmental reputation and exacerbates climate change. She's with us for a call it all again. Hey, Nicola, tēnā koe. It's good to catch up with you. Ngā mihi.
Ngā mihi, atamari, on this very stormy morning down here in Te Waipounamu, at least. Lovely to talk to you too.
Yeah, where are you today?
I'm at home today, so in Waipara, in North Canterbury, and we are certainly feeling the brunt of a couple of rough days of weather.
Yeah,
so same, it's nice to be tucked up inside.
Same up here. Must have played havoc with our with our bird life and insects, because I got up this morning, and in fact we've got big palms here, and the fronds are all over the playing field where the tamariki play. We've got a kura here at our marae as well, Nicola. It's good to talk with you again, and I've been seeing some nice pieces too from your series with PAX, taking you to exotic locations and looking under rocks and in the leaf litter at the base of tree trunks. You two are pretty incredible. Nicola and PAX are doing New Zealand's Endangered Species series. Okay, well, let's get into this main environmental concerns raised by the organisation. You had coal in the critical minerals list. How does the International Energy Agency's advice contrast with our government's current mining strategy, Nicola?
Oh, look, you'd think we were living in opposite land, wouldn't you? So the International Energy Agency, a few years ago actually, made it very clear that countries should not be opening up any new oil, gas or coal mining if we want to meet our global climate targets, right? And the climate targets aren't there for some bureaucratic reason. They're there to protect the prosperity and ultimately actually the survival of all of us here on the planet. So, you know, New Zealand has long been a leader internationally in the environmental space, and unfortunately at the moment, and kind of over collective governments, but particularly this government, they are determined to step away from our sort of environmental international street cred and are essentially selling off the family silver, because it's not just the nonsense of somehow of saying that coal, of all things, is somehow a critical mineral. I mean, coal belongs in the past. There is so much new technology and new and important and gentler ways of living from this point. The idea that we would go and rip up public conservation land, in particular home to those things that PAX and I, you know, had the benefit of going and seeing, for example, like Kiwi, so that a moment in time's government can make a quick buck by flogging off public conservation land that belongs to our grandkids who haven't perhaps even been born yet, is just unacceptable in a kind of New Zealand context, I think.
Well, it does hark back to the bad old days of coal mining on the West Coast, but there are votes there, and that seems to be the driver. And, of course, with Shane, I'm not so much sure about Winston's attitude here, but certainly Shane Jones almost puffs his chest out every time he talks about the potential to unleash the power contained in the whenua, and he's like the king of extractive industries, isn't he? You know, he's more concerned about votes than
what... You say votes, but, you know, recent polls have showed that 65% of the New Zealand public don't want this. So actually, is it votes or is it the people lining the pockets of politicians like Shane Jones?
What are you suggesting, Nicola Tocchi? What are you suggesting there? What, Grafton's corruption?
I'm just asking the question because I don't remember in the last election New Zealanders flocking to the polling booths and asking the government to get rid of, you know, to sell off public conservation land for private interests, which are more often than not sending money overseas. So when old Shane Jones is talking about, you know, we've got to do this because cost of living, last year one coal mine cost the taxpayer more in terms of the cleanup, and it was over on the West Coast, than all of the royalties of all of the coal mines that came in that year from New Zealand. So it's costing the New Zealand taxpayer to have coal mines, so why would we want more? Meanwhile, we've got our missing in action Tamapōtaka apparent conservation minister, who is still yet to put out any kind of press release about actual conservation, who's recently put out some policy consultation about flogging off public conservation land. So, you know, selling our whenua. And I'm pretty sure that all Kiwis didn't vote for that. And we're starting to see iwi leaders really front up about this. So, you know, you've got the likes of Mike Smith, who's taken, you know, his climate change fight on the emissions and the impacts of major businesses in New Zealand right to the top of the courts. We've got Ngāti Ruanui over on at Taranaki, where Haimona Maruera has told TTR to leave their whenua alone with respect to seabed mining. So, you know, and we have a conservation minister who is tangata whenua, who's completely AWOL on conservation, on the ngāhere, on our beautiful birds and invertebrates and the things that make up life in New Zealand. And to be frank, it was boring me before that we had a lack of interest in conservation. It's now starting to really make me wild.
Okay. And it should. You know, Jones says we're importing dirty coal from Indonesia and that we have the resource in the ground. What advice would you give to people here? I know that down your ways, particularly down on the West Coast anyway, coal-fired burners are still very much part of the landscape, perhaps not so much in urban settings. What about people's use of coal? If we didn't use it, we wouldn't need it. Tell us what you would say to people about burning coal.
Yeah, well, Shane Jones is being a bit naughty with the facts there, because on the West Coast, most of that high-value coal gets exported overseas. And so on the one hand, he's saying, oh, well, we've got to have all this coal because we've got to keep the lights on. But most of that coal is lining the pockets of international companies. So that's not quite correct. And then with other, you know, the coal that we do burn, we've got to invest in and incentivise transitioning away from coal, right? So rather than kind of digging it all up for a quick buck, and, you know, right now we've got that ridiculous fast-track legislation. We've had the Treaty Principles Bill kind of wobble, but we also have Treaty Principles removed from the new resource management proposed legislation. And all of those cumulative impacts of stripping away of people's opportunity to have a say means that things like mining on the Denniston Plateau, which if you essentially think Lord of the Rings, if you like, in terms of the kind of evocative landscape that we're talking about over there, and they've created a legislative pathway that means people like you or I, and particularly locals, aren't going to be able to have their say about protecting this landscape and those animals and plants and things that live there, not just right now in 2025, but what about in 2040? What about in 2100? What about in 2500? I don't think future generations are going to thank us for stealing conservation life from them because some guys wanted to make a few bucks today.
Okay, let's go to the Minister of Conservation. You're less than complimentary.
Well, I'm just, look, I see that I was wild. I'm not angry, but boy, am I disappointed. You know, New Zealanders expect conservation ministers to be champions for nature, and it doesn't matter what flavour political stripe you are. Maggie Barry was one of the staunchest conservation ministers that that we've had, and of course Eugenie Sage. You know, it doesn't matter what political party you represent, but when you are conservation minister, New Zealanders expect you to stand up for these things that define us and these things that we love and these things that are the cornerstone of our economy, particularly with respect to tourism, right? And I'm afraid that Tamapōtaka has so far done a couple of things about paving the way for more ski fields and carried out some consultation around things like paving the way for private interests to plant exotic pines on public conservation land. Nobody asked for that and nobody voted for that. And conservation ministers should be front and centre saying, Walters, we've got 4,000 threatened species in New Zealand and they are part of our national identity and boy am I going to fight to protect them. And that bit hasn't happened yet.
Is he from, well, the worst Minister of Conservation in your lifetime?
That's a tough call. I think I expect, and New Zealanders expect, conservation ministers to champion nature. And I would really love to see Tama Pūtaka start to do that. And when he does, we'll be able to support him to demonstrate to New Zealanders that he cares about the things that we love.
Ka pai, good talking with you again. Thanks very much. Nicola, when's your series completed? What stage is it at?
It is completed broadcast now. So it was on Monday nights on TV1 for the last few weeks. Yeah. But don't panic. Don't panic, whānau. If you've missed out, you can still see it on TVNZ+. It was certainly a lot of fun. We met some neat people along the way.
Yeah, fantastic. Good catching up with you again, Nicola. We'll talk again soon. Thanks for your thoughts on coal and on Pūtakas.
Thanks, Dale. Okay, lovely
then.
To talk to you.
All right, then. Thanks.
Matua.
Hey, Koneda, it's 8:54. And with Urban Māori Radio, Wate 603, we didn't